This audio presentation is the teaching of guest speaker John Brown of New Hope East Hawaii. An incredible opportunity for followers of Christ exists to serve within our community and other spheres of influence. Some of us may be hesitant to serve or even afraid of serving. In this message, John Brown shares some practical advice about serving and the attitudes surrounding service that help that service to be successful. This message was delivered on March 25th, 2018. Here now is John Brown.
Right here in East Hawaii, we pray, Father, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Austin. Would you thank Pastor Aaron? Hey, good morning. Well, this morning, we have the honor and privilege of listening to our very own John Brown, our harmonica player. John has been with New Hope for many, many years, from back in the days when Pastor Wayne was here. From then, he went to Oahu to serve. He's been part of our New Hope family for longer than I can remember. He's a great servant of God, a wonderful husband. His wife Amy is here. So this morning, would you give a warm welcome for John Brown?
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. What am I doing here? I'm here because Pastor Scott asked me to come up and speak today and told me that, I asked him, well, what do you want me to speak on? And he said, well, whatever God calls you to say. So I worried on that because I'm not the best at hearing God speak to me, but I'm pretty sure I heard him this time. I want to talk to you about perspectives on service in the church and beyond the church. It's not easy to accept God's call. When you hear God say, hey, you should be doing this, and you're like, not so sure. You're in good company. Other people who have accomplished great things in the Old Testament and in our day-to-day all felt the same way. And I've smothered you with scriptures today because I'm confident in the scriptures and less confident in my own thoughts. So examples of servants that doubted their call. Moses, in Exodus 3:11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Gideon, same thing. Pastor Scott talked about Gideon last week in his message and how he was a coward hiding in the wine press, threshing his wheat because he didn't want the Midianites to steal his food. The Lord looked at him and said, go this in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? He said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family's the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. Jeremiah, a prophet, he was called early in his life to be a prophet to Israel. But once again, he doubted. Jeremiah 1, 4-8. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. You all are probably aware Billy Graham died about 3 weeks ago. One of the television networks had a retrospective on Billy Graham's life, which was very interesting. My wife and I watched it. And I was in the midst of preparing this message, and I heard Billy Graham say the same thing. Early in his career, he said, I wasn't capable. I don't have the proper education. And yet Billy Graham is probably the most effective evangelist in our lifetime. He spoke to more people and brought more people into the family of God. So that's a natural reaction to the call of God, but don't miss your divine moment because you're afraid. The Bible says an awful lot of times, don't be afraid, do not fear, fear not. God's not counting on you to bring the power. He's just using your hands, your hearts, and your voices to accomplish his ends. So it's not about your adequacy, it's about God's power. That's your first point. Remember, too, that you're uniquely equipped for ministry. You bring something that nobody else brings. We have evidence of this in the scripture as well, Romans 12:4-6. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And again in 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So you bring something that no one else can bring, and your absence leaves a void in the body when you don't serve. Now, what should you expect when you step out in faith to service? I call this the farmer's insurance portion of my message today because it's not so much based in Scripture, but experiences that I've had in service to the church. You know, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, kind of. The first mistake I made in service in the church was trying to pay back. Like, it was an obligation. I felt like I was so grateful that I had to pay back some way. And it's the same message we give to people who visit this church, and we say, take your tithes and offerings to your own church. It's not an obligation of you to pay us for the service. It's not your obligation to pay God back for in service. That's not the right spirit. It's good to serve, but that spirit is something that I had to learn to throw away and to set aside. And the other aspect that I thought was, in my experience, things that I did wrong, we're dealing with pride. My wife and I caught ourselves years ago not wanting to accept anything from anyone else. We were willing to give to other people, but we would we won't let you serve us. And that's a prideful thing. And we set that aside because we recognize that your acceptance of the service of others encourages them in their service. You receive, and by so doing, you're allowing others to express their gifts by sharing to you. And the other aspect of pride that I wanted to talk about was that fear of embarrassing yourself. There's a scripture that I've put in your bulletin that's been kind of a mantra for me. 1 Corinthians 4:10, the Apostle Paul said, "We're fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor." Now, I can't know precisely what Paul was trying to convey in that term, but I kind of glommed onto that because it helped me a lot in ministry to decide beforehand that I'll accept socially awkward situations. I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll do that. I'll be a greeter who can't remember the names of the people you're writing name tags for, even though you do it every week and you see them every week, still can't remember their names. Socially awkward, but I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll agree to lead worship without a clue as to how to do it. I'm not a gifted musician. I mean, I can toot my harmonica a little bit, but I don't understand all how to read music and all the keys and all that stuff. It's, you know, but I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll do it. And I'll stand up here and give this message, even though I'm not super confident, comfortable in public speaking. I spent a lot of years in radio, but it's a whole lot different when you're in a little room by yourself with a microphone and when you're standing up in front of a group of people. But I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll stand up and do this and give my pastor a week off. It's important, too, to remember, you know, we're not earning anything with our ministry. It's obedience. That we want to obey God and do what we're called to do. And, you know, called it the commandment of Christ. We're supposed to love one another as I have loved you. There's a few things that I'd like to kind of warn you about in dealing with ministry. Balance your zeal. And by that, I mean, when you're a new Christian, you're super excited about it. You go to all the services. You go to Wednesday night services. You join a small group. Again, Pastor Scott's message last week, he touched on this. He called it sacrificing your family on the altar of ministry. We ran into that problem in our family, and we had to fix it. So one of the things that we did was we decided that whenever possible, we would serve together. So that it wasn't separating us. We were serving together. That's just how we handled it. But be aware of that. And don't martyr yourself. You know, bring someone alongside you in the thing you're called to do. Mentor them. They will give you strength. They'll support you. And you're training your replacement, which is a nice thing. Because, you know, we'll be called out of this church. We've lost, well, we haven't lost. We've sent out a number of people recently to help another church. And that's a good thing. The body as a whole is made stronger. And be careful of our way of doing things. There's a tendency, to kind of get rigid in the way we do things. And, you know, well, my wife and I, we had an opportunity to work with a young pastor who was starting his first church. And half the congregation that went with him were people that came out of another church we were part of. And it was interesting because they all wanted to do the things exactly the same way they were accustomed to doing them. And, you know, Amy and I called it killing sacred cows. You know, we were looking at it going, why are you doing this? And if the reason is simply because you've always done it that way, you're closing the door to the Spirit. And you're not allowing that particular church to follow its mission. You know, each church is called to a different mission. Each pastor has a different mission. So that's one thing that we tried to not allow to creep in. In fact, there's a scripture that it's not in your bulletin, but one of my favorite scriptures, Jesus says, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men." In other words, all the dogma stuff. Christ was very hard on the officials, the lawyers in the church. But there's also rewards for service. It's not all tough stuff. Colossians 3:23 is in your bulletin. "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." But you're going to be surprised at the cool things that happen when you serve in ministry as well. Amy and I, about six churches we spent major time in the last, 15 years or so. And one of them was filled with young people that went to the University of Hawaii. Bunch of young kids going to school, and Amy and I kind of were their adult supervision. You know, we'd go out with them on their trips and things like that to kind of, you know, light the fires and do those adult things that they couldn't quite bring themselves to do. And we loved them, and we advised them as they were all dealing with relationships and deciding whether they were going to get married and all those sorts of things. And then we left for about a year and a half. We went to work, and we were called to another church. And then, after a period of time, the assistant pastor of the original church started his own church. And just as here, a group of people were called out with him to help start that church. We went there. These young people now were young professionals. They had jobs. They had kids. And we served them in a different way in that church. We got to counsel them in their marriages and help them get through those early years of marriage, which are tough. And the rewards of that are super. I mean, their kids used to call us, you know, Grandma and Grandpa. Amy wasn't as excited about it as I was, but it's true. And we have pictures of those families sitting on the mantle next to our grandkids because we get their Christmas cards. And it does my heart good to know that they're thriving. And we had a small part in that. And remember, you're teaching your children to serve as well. Service is a learned behavior. It's not what we're naturally drawn to do. In fact, we're naturally hesitant to do it. But we're commanded to do it. And it's easy to say no. But I encourage you to say yes, to take the risk. You're not pursuing comfort. You're pursuing obedience. Jonah was a prophet. He was kind of the prophet of his time, you know, quite esteemed in Israel. And when God called him to go deliver a message to Nineveh, and I didn't realize until I did the research for this how horrible Nineveh was. I mean, it was a place where they would, you know, decapitate the captive kings and flay their generals and just, you know, it was one of the articles I read said that they were a torturous and corrupt city where terror and torture were perfected. This is what God called Jonah to do. Jonah didn't, he thought, these people are, they're not, I don't want them saved, I want them punished. Mm-hmm. And so he turned away from what God was calling him to do, and we all know the story of Jonah and what the price he had to pay to do that. But it's not about serving our desires or our plans. It's to serve God and what he has to do. And Nineveh was indeed redeemed, which was an incredible thing. Expect to doubt yourself when you serve. Because let's be real, it's a spiritual war that we're fighting. You know, spiritual warfare is a real thing. And if you feel opposition to your ministry, it could well be evidence of the authenticity and effectiveness of what you're doing. So trust in God. First Peter 4:12 speaks to this. It says, "Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." My wife and I are pretty voracious readers, and we share with each other interesting little tidbits that we come across. And one that's kind of a mantra around our house as well is from a book called Play to Win, Larry Wilson and Hirsch Wilson. And I'll quote from here. "On any adventure, we have a choice. We can try to simply survive it, clinging to the hope that we'll get to the end unscathed, or we can try to thrive, allowing the adventure to grow us in ways that we could not have imagined when we began. Clearly, the objective of the adventure of our lives is not simply to survive, whew, I got to my death safely, but to thrive in it and to grow." So that's one of the things that we say around our house. Let's make it safely to our death, not take any risks. Because I want to ask you to recognize fear for what it is. Fear is the currency of the devil. The Bible, time and time again, says, "Fear not, do not fear, do not be afraid." I have a tendency to be a worrywart. I knot my stomach up into big knots for no good reason on a lot of occasions, and it's something that I have to fight against. And a couple of tools that I recently used to address this flaw in my own character is to remind myself. This is not biblical at all, but a friend's father used to say this to them, and I made note when I heard it. Worrying is praying for things to go wrong. And I thought, that's true. And our prayers are powerful. When we put thoughts out into the ether, out into the spiritual realm, we're giving strength to those things. And you're worrying when you're told not to worry. Don't be afraid. Have faith. Trust in God is an affront to God. I heard a song, a relatively new song on the radio about a week and a half ago that snapped my head around. And it had to deal with fear. Zach Williams, "Fear is a Liar." I don't know if you guys have heard this. But the first time I heard it, it was a mini epiphany for me. Because the lyrics started, "When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar." Now, who in this room doesn't know who he is? You know, that's the devil traffics in fear and in doubt. And when God says, "Do not fear, do not be afraid," he's saying, don't give currency to the devil in your life. Don't feed that. And it's important to remember, too, that your ministry extends beyond the church. The church is a wonderful, warm, safe place to stand up and speak to a bunch of friendly people who love each other. Service to the church is like training wheels, in a way, because we're in this safe environment. We're serving other people who are, by and large, like us. But we're called to go out into the world at large as well. Jesus sent out a group. It wasn't his inner 12. This is referenced in Luke 10:1-6. "Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be on this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. This is a warning Christ has for these people he's sending out to prepare the way for him. He's warning them that their evangelism, their message will not be received 100%. People are going to be mean to you. People are going to, you know, stiff arm you or slam the door in your face. But once again, it's not about being successful. It's being obedient in our service. God brings the power. God can use that, redeem that in some way. So we have work to do. The recent study Amy read to me, there was a study someone did within the last week or so about the most religious county in each state. And we are so proud. Hawaii County is the most religious county in the state of Hawaii. But let me tell you, we got work to do, because 49.5% of the people surveyed said that they attended religious services, which means that less than half. And Hawaii was 14th from the bottom of the list of 50 states. So we can't get too comfortable. We can't, you know, be inward looking. We have to redeem people outside of the church as well. I pray that we can reject that fear and that pride and willingly say, I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll take the risk. And I want to pray with you this morning. Father, I'm so grateful for having been called to your family, to be brought out of the world, cleaned up, given an opportunity to serve you, not because I owe it to you, but because I love you and I want that same joy to be seen by other people. I want to support other people who are trying to do your work. The redemption through the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, is a wonderful thing, and it's so unhuman. Please send your Holy Spirit to be with us as we stretch ourselves and push ourselves past our comfort zones to obey Christ's commandment that we love one another. We ask that your Spirit empower us and fill our lives with light, and that that light can overwhelm the shadows of fear and doubt and worry, those things that are the currency of the devil. We count on your power to enable us to accomplish much more than we could ever dream. We look forward to being surprised by the joy that service to you brings, and may that joy shine before men in ways that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Help us reflect your light in our church, in our jobs, in our schools, in our community, in our nation, and into the world at large, that none should perish but all come to repentance. Amen.
Would you thank John? And so simple, so practical, so applicable. Don't let fear get in the way for you serving the Lord. Amen. I love some of the things that he said. Worrying is praying for things to go wrong. Wow, it hit me. It's like when kick in the pants, okay? Fear is a currency of the devil. Wow. You know, and now I understand why they say fear, he is a liar. Because I thought they were just picking on men. Why? Because in the Bible, in the stuff they fear, he is a liar. All the bad stuff is he, and all the good, like wisdom, they call him she. And I was thinking, like, what's up? But thank you for clearing that. Now I know why fear is a liar, because he is the devil. Wow. The light went on when he said that, man. Thank you so much. What a wonderful message. Would you thank John one more time? And would you stand and join up as I lead you in worship? Just kidding.
You've been listening to John Brown of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.